Isaiah chapter 44. And I'd like to preach, and I hope the Lord would help me. It's kind of an unusual topic, but it's a needed topic. It's mentioned in the New Testament a lot of times, and it's mentioned here in the Old Testament a lot of times. And it's a problem that you may not think people have, but it's a problem that we all have. It just takes different forms. But the topic this morning is going to be the insanity of idolatry.
Amen.
The insanity of idolatry. So if you would take your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter 44, and we're going to begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, he marketh it out with a line. He fitted it with planes, and he marketeth it out with a compass. And he maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire, and the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand, and none considereth in his heart. Neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and I shall make the residue thereof an abomination. Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand?" We'll stop reading there. Dear Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for it. May the Holy Spirit have his right away in the service today. We ask for your presence. We thank you for every person that is here. We ask, God, if someone's lost, that you'd convict them and draw them by the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask, God, for those of us who know you as Savior, that, Lord, you'd strengthen us and that we would grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the folks that are here today. We pray that you just continue to bless and have your way in this service. And we love you this morning, dear Lord. And thank you for the blessings of life you've given us. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. And we ask special help for our nation, God, during this time, that you would help us and have mercy on our nation. Please help our leaders. Bless your word this morning, God. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. The insanity of idolatry. The prophet Isaiah here gives us an example of idolatry. In verse 12, we didn't read that, but you can look at it. It says, it describes a blacksmith who works coals and hammers out a god. In the portion that we read, the prophet tells of a carpenter who makes a god out of a tree. He talks about a man who makes a god out of a tree. And when we think of this, I imagine that we all think of some uneducated native somewhere who's bowing down to a wooden statue somewhere. That's what we think of, probably comes to our mind. But idolatry is still a sin that's very prevalent in our day. It's still a sin that's very prevalent in our day. An idol, spiritually speaking, can be anything that we place ahead of God. An idol can be anything that we place ahead of God in our lives, and it's anything that takes the place of God in our hearts, such as, and I'm just going to list some things, but and I could list thousands of things that become idols to people, but a lot of times people let money become an idol. A lot of times people let possessions become an idol. People let power become an idol. A lot of times people have careers that they put ahead of God. They have relationships that they put ahead of God. Education can become an idol. Hobbies can become an idol. Sports can become an idol. Entertainment can become an idol. I could go on and on. You get the picture. Anything that you allow to take the place of God, or you put in front of God, or you, in your heart, you have more affection for than God, is an idol. It can become an idol to us. And we have to guard against that, don't we? And we know that even today, now I've just mentioned some things that they're not made out of wood or stone or metal. I just talked about things that are in our hearts that can become an idol. But you know, surely you understand, that there are people today that still worship images and statues and stone and metal in our day. You say, well, I can't imagine that. Well, listen, I hate to tell you this, but in this country alone, there are 24% of this country who claim to be Roman Catholics. And our Roman Catholic friends still bow down to idols. Amen. I love them. I'm not mad at them. I'm just telling you the truth about them. They still bow down to idols. No one could deny, if you've ever been around the Roman Catholic Church at all, no one could deny that it is filled with idolatry. The Roman Catholic Church is filled with idolatry. They bow down to statues. They bow down to relics. They bow down to even men. They bow down to the Pope. The Bible says that we're not to do that, doesn't it? So even in the 21st century, there are people that bow down to man-made images. There are people that bow down to man-made images. And also, let me just say this, because we're living in this kind of a day. There are people that worship nature. Amen. That is an idol. When you worship nature, I love nature, don't you? I mean, I love the woods, I love the trees, I love the ocean, I love the animals, I love it. But listen, when people bow down to this earth and they bow down to nature, they have placed it ahead of God. Amen. They're worshiping a false god. The New Age movement is filled with nature worship. That's what has happened in our days. You know, you can't celebrate Christmas and you can't celebrate Easter and you can't celebrate this and you can't celebrate that in the public schools, but you can celebrate Earth Day. Amen. They worship the earth, a lot of folks do. So men and women are worshiping, as the Bible says, they're worshiping creation rather than the Creator. They're worshiping creation rather than the Creator. In Exodus chapter 20, I'm just going to read it to you. You can look at it later if you'd like. But in Exodus chapter 20, the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So the Bible says that we're not to bow down or to worship a graven image, but yet people still do it, don't they? They still do it. So the Bible here tells us, and this is the topic, the insanity of idolatry. The Bible here tells us here in verse 14, the Bible tells us how ridiculous this is. Look at verse 14 again with me. "He heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest." So he's describing a man here who has grown, purposely grown an orchard. He's purposely grown a forest. He's nurtured them. He's taken care of them. He strengthened them. He did what it took to make them healthy. Then it says in verse 14, he planteth an ash and the rain doth nourisheth it. Then shall it be for a man to burn. He will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh a graven image and falleth down thereunto. So God here in this passage shows us the insanity of worshiping a piece of wood or a piece of gold or a piece of metal or a picture or a statue or another man. It's insanity, isn't it? You think about this. Here's a guy. He's got a forest. He's got some woods. He really likes the woods. He goes out. He says, well, look at this tree. It's about the right size I want. He hews it down. He cuts it up. He takes the branches off of it. He cuts it up into logs or however big pieces he needs. And he burns some of it and he keeps warm by it. Well, that's a good idea, isn't it? I like that. I like a good fire, don't you? And then he takes some of it in the kitchen and he throws it down in the kitchen floor and says, here, honey, make us some bread. Well, I like that idea too. I like eating bread, don't you? The Bible says that's what he does with it. Some of it he keeps warm with, some of it he cooks with. And then the remainder of it, he makes a god. Now you think anybody with common sense would say, you know, this is stupid. I cut down a tree and I burnt some up to keep warm with and I burnt some up to make bread and now I'm going to bow down to it and worship it. It'd be funny, but it happens. It happens all the time, doesn't it? People do this kind of thing all the time. They do it all the time. They fall down and worship something that's nothing. A piece of wood's nothing, is it? A statue's nothing. They say if it's so, I guess it is, but I think there's a statue over in Rome somewhere. They've kissed the toe of it so much the toes wore off of it. Now, that's a good way to get the COVID, isn't it? Everybody lining up to kiss the statue's toe. I just got 3 points today. Number one, fallen man seeks a visible God. Fallen man seeks a visible God. Number two, idolatry leads to more spiritual blindness. Idolatry leads to more spiritual blindness. And number three, Christians must fight idolatry. Christians must fight idolatry. So my first point is, fallen man seeks a visible God. I'm going to have you turn a couple places. You can hold your place there in Isaiah. I'm not sure we'll come back, but you get the idea of what the Bible's talking about here, the foolishness of it and the insanity of cutting down a tree and making a God. But I want you to look now at Psalm 115, if you would, please. Psalm 115 and verse 1. Psalm 115 and verse 1. The Bible says, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, notice this, but they speak not. They have eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses they have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Fallen man seeks a visible God. the psalmist here describes these gods. They're little statues. You know, if you go into a Catholic church, they're probably going to have a statue of Mother Mary. You shouldn't worship Mary, by the way. But they'll have a statue of Mother Mary. But you know something? Mother Mary, that little statue of her, that wooden statue or stone statue or marble statue or whatever it is, she can't hear. She can't talk. She can't smell. She can't walk. She can't do anything. Why is that? Because she's a chunk of wood. Because she's a piece of metal or a block of marble. You understand the folly of it. But yet fallen man wants to see something, don't they? Fallen man wants to seek a visible God. Jesus told the woman at the well that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says this about Moses. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Our God is invisible, isn't he? You can't make an image of our God, but man wants to do that. While Moses was up getting the commandments, they were down on the bottom of the hill making a God. Think of it this way, as far as worship is concerned. If you can see it, it's an idol. Amen. Think about that. As far as worship is concerned, if you can see it, it's an idol. And it's not true faith. It's not true faith. So fallen man seeks, that is one of the sins of mankind. Fallen man seeks a visible God. They want something they can look at. They want something they can touch. They want something they can place their eyes on. Fallen man wants a visible God. Secondly, idolatry leads to more spiritual blindness. It doesn't just stop there. Idolatry leads to more spiritual blindness. If you would, I want you to turn again, and I want you to look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. While you're turning there, I'm going to read the verse we read previously. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see and their hearts that they cannot understand. Now look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Doesn't that sound like the day in which we live? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped, notice this in verse 25, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Notice that. God gave them up. God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Psalm 81 says, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. Excuse me. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. The Bible here tells us in Romans chapter 1 that when a person or a group of people start to worship idols, God is eventually going to give them over to it. He's going to give them up. I can tell you, I think with some authority, that one of the worst things that can happen to a person, one of the worst things that can happen to a church, one of the worst things that can happen to a nation is for God to give up on them. When you're left to yourself, you're in trouble, friend. You're in trouble. Romans chapter 1 says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. neither were they thankful. You know, Romans chapter 1 is a list of terrible sin. It is. It's a terrible list of things that men do and women do. But the first one he mentions is they were not thankful. They were not thankful. Well, this is Thanksgiving season, right? So let me just give a plug for Thanksgiving. We ought to be a thankful people. We ought to be a thankful people. I don't care. I saw where the Philippines got hit pretty hard with a storm the other day and showed pictures of it. And basically their 10 shacks got blown away. We don't live in 10 shacks here. We ought to be a thankful people. Amen. We've got a lot of things in this country to be thankful for, do we not? Amen. We've got a lot of things that we ought to be thankful for. One of the worst sins is becoming unthankful. Becoming unthankful. And the Bible says that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and God gave them up to uncleanness. It's a bad thing when God gives a people up. Can I tell you, I don't mean to be negative, and I don't want to sound like I'm a naysayer or a doomsdayer, but I think what we're seeing right now in our country is God withdrawing his blessings from this nation, and we're seeing that God is removing himself from it. He's giving us over. He's giving us over. That's one of the things we're seeing here in this nation. And I'd like to tell you, I hope it gets better, and I do hope it gets better, but I'm not sure. Amen. I'm not sure. And I'll tell you this right now. If God withdraws his blessings from this nation and things get worse, it's not any more than we deserve. Amen. I hate to say that, because I don't want to live through it, and I don't want my kids and grandkids to live through it. But if things get worse in this country, it's because we have thumbed our nose at God. Amen. And told him we didn't want him, and told him we didn't care about his laws or his ways or his book or his people. So it's no surprise to me that things are going downhill. It's no surprise to me. The Bible says right here, God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to uncleanness. That's the day in which we live, isn't it? God is withdrawing himself from his people, I'm afraid. Or from this nation, I should say. I believe we could say with the prophet, if it wasn't for a very small remnant, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Idolatry leads to more spiritual blindness. The more people go into this sin, the more blind they become. Amen. The more spiritually blind they become. We're living in a spiritually blind time, aren't we?
Yes.
Spiritually blind. There's a famine in the land, but it's not a famine of food. It's a famine of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God.
Amen.
Thirdly, let me just bring it to a more practical level. Christians must fight idolatry. Christians must fight idolatry. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, one more time. Colossians. I say one more time, maybe two more times. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Christians must fight idolatry. Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to begin reading with me at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And I could read on down through there. It's a familiar passage. I don't have to read it to you. But, you know, tonight or today, I don't think any of you guys are, I hope not, I don't think any of you guys are going to go home today and bow down to a wooden statue. I don't think any of you are going to do that. But, as the hymn writer said, we're prone to wonder. We're prone to wonder. And there's things that could come into your life and things that could come into my life that would be an idol. Things, not a wooden statue or a marble statue or a relic of some kind or an image that we'd bow down to, but there's still things that could come into our life that could become an idol, is there not? Well, let me give you a couple of illustrations. Number one, our job could become an idol. Job ahead of God, it can become an idol, can it not? I worked for a place, said they were Christians. I heard him tell a fellow one time, he said, you need to choose if you're going to go to church or work a job. I looked at the guy and I said, you better never ask me that. Because I would say, I'm going to church. Now, I understand it. If it was not an emergency situation, I understand there are times when people have to work. I do understand that. It's not what I'm talking about. But listen, folks, you can let a job come before you and God. You can let a job get into a place to where it's got you tied up and you can't go to church like you need to. You can't pray like you need to. You can't read the Bible like you need to. It can come between you and the Lord. A job can. A job can. A hobby can become an idol. And listen, I'm guilty. I like old cars. I could easily let old cars become a hobby and to the point to where it could become an idol. I have to guard against that. Now, my hobby's not your hobby. You know, I've met people, they like collecting knives, or they like collecting guns, or they like horses, or they like dogs, or you name it, people can let it become an idol, can't they? You name it. I mean, there's people who collect beer cans. Anything can become an idol. Anything. If you're not careful. I'm talking about hobbies. Hobbies. That. You know what? One of the funny things about hobbies, can I just throw this out here? One of the funny things about hobbies is they always do stuff on Sunday. When they go have a car show Sunday. When they go have a horse show Sunday. When they go have a NASCAR race Sunday. When they go have a football game Sunday. You think that's an accident? The world knows and the devil knows, doesn't he? He knows. You can let things become an idol if we're not careful. You know, people's health becomes an idol. People get so wrapped up. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is bodily exercise profiteth little. But you can let your... I'm joking. But you can let your health become an idol, can't you? There's people get all wrapped up about how they look and how they exercise and all that kind of stuff. It can become an idol to you. And then you know what? You could be all that. You could be all healthy, you think, and be all in shape, and a little virus come by and lay you low. There's lots of things that can become an idol, isn't there? People value their looks sometimes, you know. But guess what? When you get older, those looks go away, don't they? Y'all didn't know that, did you? Those looks don't last forever. You know, money can become an idol. Making money can become an idol. Having possessions can become an idol. I'm just telling you, not every idol is a stick and a statue. And those things, it's just as foolish to get wrapped up in money or hobbies or health or sports. It's just as foolish to do that as it is to bow down in front of a stupid log. Because there's nothing there. It's not going to be there. One fella, you know, this always scared me a little bit. I think some people let their children become an idol. You got to be careful of that. I love my children, I love my grandchildren, but you can't let them be an idol. One fella said, William Cooper, who wrote, it slipped me. He wrote, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. There is a fountain, thank you. He wrote those, but he said this about a fella. He said, he's a self-made man, and he worships his creator. Think about that a minute. He's a self-made man, and he worships his creator. We can even worship ourselves sometimes, can't we? Idolatry, we have to fight against that. That's what the Bible says here. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he gives a list of things that we have to mortify. You know what mortify means, don't you? Mortify, it has to do with death. That's where we get the words mortician, mortuary. Mortify means to put these things down. And idolatry, and the Bible says idolatry is the same as covetousness here. Covetousness. We have to put that down, don't we? It's one of those things we have to mortify. Sometimes people even worship other people. Have you ever noticed that? People worship Hollywood stars, don't they? You have to be pretty silly to do that, but there are people who do it. These people worship athletes, do they not? They do. They look at athletes and they put them up on a pedestal and they think they're something. They're nothing. And you know something? Cult leaders are always being worshipped. When there's a cult, you know, when you get somebody like a David Koresh or a Jim Jones or some of these guys, Sung Young Moon and different fellas that started a cult, Charles Taz Russell, Joseph Smith, those men demanded worship, or they received worship and didn't stop it. Can I tell you something? There's some Baptist cults out there. You got to be careful. There's some people that worship their preacher or worship their teacher or worship their college or worship their church. Anything can be an idol, can't it? We have to be careful to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Set our affections. As Moses did, we have to endure as seeing him who is invisible. He's invisible. We have to mortify our flesh. You know, a block of wood is powerless. I don't care what you carve out of it. You know, I don't care. It's a block of wood. You can make a statue of Mary or a Buddha or whoever, and it's still just a block of wood, isn't it? And if you get real cold, you'll throw it in the fire and keep warm, won't you? What I'm trying to tell you is a statue or an image or a block of wood is powerless, isn't it? But our God is all power. Our God is all power. Our God can save you. A block of wood can't save you. My God can justify me and bring me to heaven. A block of wood can't do that. And the Bible says, this is the frightening thing, the Bible says that behind these idols are demons. So when you fool around with that stuff, you're getting around demons. You say, I've never heard that before. Well, let me read it to you. Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what say I then, that an idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Now what he's talking about there as they were having an argument there at the church at Corinth, there were people, well, think about this, number one. They were offering this meat to idols. So they'd kill a cow or a sheep or a chicken or whatever, and they'd offer this meat to idols. But guess what? An idol can't eat. Did you ever see a statue eat? Did you ever see a block of wood eat anything? An idol can't eat, so guess what? After the service is over, they got all this meat laying there that they offered to these idols. So what they did is they took it to the, what they called the shambles. And at the shambles, they sold this meat. Well, I mean, you may as well make money on it, right? They sold this meat. And there were an argument in the church, should we eat this meat that's been offered to gods? And Paul said, I don't care, it's just meat. If you're hungry, I guess you got to get it. But then he went on to say this. But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now what he means there is, I don't think you ought to go to their feast. That's a different story, isn't it? It's a different story for you to go to the markdown bin the next day and get the meat. That's what I do. I don't celebrate Halloween, but I eat the candy corn and the other stuff that they mark down the next day. I'm just trying to tell you, Paul said, "I don't go to those feasts." That's wrong. That's wrong. But that meat's not anything. That meat's no more a cow or no less a cow than when they slaughtered it and cooked it. He said, but behind those idols are devils. I just tell you that because, listen, I wouldn't fool with none of that stuff. I wouldn't have a statue in my house of a god. I dealt with a young lady one time, and she was telling me some stuff, you know, like in the middle of the night, there's noises in my house. And she was just saying all this stuff sounded crazy, you know. And I said, well, let me ask you something. Do you have anything in your house? And I started listing some things. I said, do you have this? Gods or Buddhas or anything like that in the house? Occultic books, witchcraft books. And I said, do you have dream catchers? And she said, yeah, my whole living room's decorated with dream catchers. Now, if you don't know what a dream catcher is, it's what an Indian thinks, or Native American, let's put it that way. That's what a Native American thinks that spirits go in and out of from the spirit world into this realm. You say, I don't believe that. Well, Paul said there's demons behind those things. I'll just tell you this. I said, if I were you, I'd throw them out of my house. And she did, and things got better. I will tell you this. I wouldn't have that stuff in my house. Whether there's something to it or not, I wouldn't fool with it. Can I just tell you, I would err on the side of caution.
That's good.
And if you got one hanging on your rear view mirror, you run out there right after church and get it before I come out in the parking lot, all right? I just wouldn't fool with it. I just wouldn't fool with that stuff. Paul said there's devils behind that stuff. There's devils behind that stuff. So even though they're just sticks and stones and rocks and marble statues, there's a demonic force there. Because the devil is a deceiver, isn't he? He's a deceiver. And he wants people to worship logs and sticks and rocks rather than worship the true God. One more portion of scripture and we're leaving. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. You know, if it wasn't a problem, the Bible wouldn't mention it so much. But the Bible mentions it quite a bit, doesn't it? Does not the Bible mention idolatry a lot in the New Testament? It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
1 John chapter 5, verse 11. I want you to listen to this. Because, listen, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way. And this is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. That's a confusing passage of Scripture, but let me just try to condense that down to tell you what it means. I think it means a Christian can go too far. You know, when you got a little one like that one back there, she's not at the age yet. But I remember mine, and I remember being a kid. When I got unruly, my dad would say, "You come over here and sit by me. And don't get up." Did your daddy ever say it to you, your mom ever say it to you? I bet they did. I'm telling you, I think a Christian can get to the point where God says, "I'm just going to bring you on home." There is a sin unto death. I think that's what this is talking about here. There is a sin unto death. A person can go too far. Now, we know, verse 18, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and he hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, I want you to notice how he ends this whole epistle. Little children, keep yourself from idols.
Amen.
Little children, keep yourself from idols. That's his last words to them. Well, I can tell you right now, that's good advice. It's good advice to put God first. It's good advice not to let anything become an idol in your heart. Not to let anything become a hindrance between you and the Lord. Little children, keep yourself from idols. So let me ask you in closing, like the Bible says here, do you know him? Do you know him? That's the most important thing. You could try to live right and try to do right, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, it won't mean a thing. You have to know him, don't you? Are you in him? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? The Bible says, I read it to you, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, we've talked about false gods, haven't we? This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ. Do you have eternal life? When you lay your head down at night, do you have eternal life? Do you know if something happened to you that you're prepared to die? If you know something more important than that, I'd like to know what it is. Keep yourself from idols. Christians, keep yourself from idols. Don't let anything come between you and God. You know, a lot of times I think about this. All of us would like to have more money than we got, wouldn't we? You ever met anybody that says, I wouldn't like to have some? All of us would like to have some more money than we got. But I think sometimes God in his wisdom has permitted or prevented us from having more because he knows it'd become an idol to us. Can I tell you that? I think that's true in my case. That if I had more, I might forget God. I might let it come between me and God, you know. God's good to us though, isn't he? He's good to us. I'm looking out over the audience here, and everybody looks like you're eating okay. Right? Don't give in to idolatry, spiritual or otherwise. Like I said, I don't think any of you are going to go home tonight and bow down to a stick or a statue. But don't let other things come between you and God.